Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 77.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 77, where we have one mission, and that is to help as many interested people around the world learn jazz piano and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. My name is Brendan Lowe. I'm the host as always, and thank you so much for joining me today. So today's kind of a fun episode. It's really kind of just random, and there's a lot of like kind of just little things where you're just like, what did you do there? You know, I understand that. That definitely happens, you know, where it's just like, what was that little tiny thing? Or there's just like little things that they're just so small, right, that you overlook them, but they add so much flavor to the playing. And that's exactly what I'm going to be going over in this episode. So it's going to be very short. I have 11 different little tiny things that if used properly can really add a ton to your playing. And they're going to sound small. All right, don't get me wrong, right? You're going to be like, what? That's it? But yes, I mean, that's it. But when used properly and effective, I mean, you can use these. They're very, very versatile, right? You can use these in so many different types of situations, fast tunes, medium tunes, all different styles and things like that. And they really just uplift your playing. And again, this whole episode is about adding finesse and elegance to your playing. Right. So just kind of classing your, I don't think that's a word, classing, right? Adding more class to your playing. And you can go both ways, right? You can add more grit to your playing. You can add more dirt, right? Or you can add more elegance and finesse. And so this episode is going to be about adding more elegance and finesse to your playing. So again, as always, to get the practice materials or, you know, sometimes we have a written out notation or just a checklist of all the items we've gone over today so you can work on those things in your playing, go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast77. And again, if you are listening on iTunes, you can go to our blog or podcast on our website, jazzpianoschool.com, and you can watch the video of this episode there. All right, so here we go. The first one is going to be, again, very, very simple. I'm pulling up my notes here. Is adding triplets into your playing. And you're going to be like, what, triplets? Yes, triplets. So as we're playing, right, if we are swinging eighth note lines, so let's say I'm just playing a 2-5-1, you know, in the key of F. That was basically all eighth notes, right? So our triplet is one pull it, two pull it. So as we're adding triplets into the line, it's basically what I'm saying is adding a triplet into the middle of the line. So we might say one and two and three pull it, four and one, right? One and two and three pull it, three. Wow, it's hard to talk and play at the same time. Let me just play it first. Right? So just that little triplet in the middle. Let me see. Da-di-da-da, right? Triple it. So whatever beat you're on, tuple it three, right? Triple it four. And you can do it anywhere, right? It doesn't really matter. You can do it at the beginning of your line, right? Right, I did another one up here. Triple it. Oops, sorry. Right, to that resolution there. So adding that triplet is just like it's a little touch, right? It's a little flavor. It's a spice. You know, it's very small. Okay, just like we've heard of salt, we've heard of pepper, you know, cinnamon, all these different things. But when you add them into when you season them correctly with the right amount of flavor, I mean, if you give salt and pepper to a you know, five-star chef, he's going to use those spices differently than, you know, me, right? You know, to the right quality, the right seasoning, how much, you know, where, when. I mean, there's so many different ways. He's going to look at them in a completely different way. That's how I want you to view these little flavors, right? So here's some triplets. Right? So all that's da-da-da-da-da, right? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, you could do a whole bunch of them. Sorry. Mm-hmm. you can use them all over the place, right? But again, that's where the attention to detail and the balance about how much of it do you want to use? When do you want to use this little triplet, all right? That's number one. Number two is going to be the slide. And it's such a, I'm sorry, it just makes me laugh because, you know, when I tell these things, again, there's spices. So the slide is just sliding into a note, right? However you want to do it, you can slide into any single note you want, you know, and like doing stuff like that. I mean, you know, Winton does this. Well, all horn players can do the thing where they laugh on the trumpet, you know, where it's like, and you know, he does it on some albums and stuff like that. And that's the fun of the piano too. I mean, you can make these great sounds with these kind of little textures, right? And don't be afraid to go for these textures in your playing, right? They're really fun textures that kind of add a different contrast, a different sound. So anyway, not necessarily to use the slide like that, but the slide can take a long duration or a short duration. And, you know, just a funny story. Someone was watching my left hand. The bass player was watching my left hand when we were playing this gig a couple nights ago for a birthday party. And I was doing this thing in my left hand where I was making this sound. And so he saw me hitting the B and the C together. And he was like, why are you playing that half step? You know, he was like, you're playing both of them at the same time. And he was like, I heard that half step rub and it was kind of freaking me out. So I laughed because I was like, well, I was using the B as a grace note, as a slide in my left hand. I think when we were pedaling, right? I was going. So that's what I was doing there. But you can use the slide in a lot of different ways, right? You know? So again, what I was talking about was the duration. You can have a quick slide where it's barely audible. That first note is barely audible. Like that, right? You can have a delayed slide. So it's definitely audible. Right? Sorry. You know, wherever you want to add these little slides in. And again, a nice thing, again, is you can change the duration. So you could go, let me see. Right? And I love that. Instead of going, you can go. That's almost an eighth note. It's getting away from the grace note. I mean, the further you elongate the duration of your grace note, it's going to actually turn into a note, right? In that case. So as I elongate the first note, I am going to shorten the second note, right? As I shorten the grace note, I have to elongate my rhythm of my first note. And that's where expression and feel comes into play. As you're playing, you can change that on the spot. So depending upon how I feel in the moment, I may make that longer, shorter. It's all improv, right? So that was basically an actual note. You can lead up to it, and the shortest possible I could do probably would be sound like this. So, all right, so that is the slide. Again, you can use that in a lot of different ways. I really like that. Now, kind of building on what I just did there, chromatic approaches are great. They're great for ballads, they're great in fast tunes. Now, chromatic approaches is going to be more than the slide. So we're going to use more notes than just the one note slide. So in to build off that last situation, instead of just going this, I could do, or I could go, right? Right? Or I could come down. So however you want to manage it. Sorry. And again, you can use these chromatic approaches. Oscar does this a lot. If you listen to the Oscar Peterson podcast, you can approach anything you want with a chromatic approach, right? You know, so however you want to do it. fumbled that one a little bit. But so that's that, and you can do that, and it's great in ballads. I love doing it in ballads too. If we have a you know, if we're playing, right, just adding that little bit instead of going, you know, just any sort of chromaticism that you can just roll down is really nice. A little slide there. Right, so so you see how they, I mean, these little tiny flavors add so much to your playing, and you wouldn't you would really never even understand. I mean, you could be playing those same exact notes, but you may be playing it like this, and even that sounds pretty. But adding this little flavor, right, the roll, the little slides here, and then the chromaticism down to the G. Okay, so chromaticism rolls are going to be number three. The four is going to be a half step rub. I use this, you can use this basically all over the place, right? So the half step rub is going to be any sort of kind of just half step. I like to use it in blues a lot to give you an example, especially in a blues if you use. So I'm adding a note here, right? Probably listening on the podcast be like, oh god, that is just ruining my ears. But seriously, if you're playing a blues, right, adding these little half step rubs where you're actually playing half steps together is a really nice thing. Keep going. So again, it doesn't have to be a blues, you know. Let me see. I use a whole step there. You know, so you can just play around with it. Again, it's just a flavor, it's a spice, it's completely up to you. The purpose of this is to let you experiment with these little things. Okay, the 16th note kind of fall down. So D, ba da da, D da da, it's really quick. One E and a two, right? D da da da, da da da, one E and a two, da 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 da. So it's just a little thing. D ba da da ba da. Ah, sir. So I should do it. You can go up as if you want as well. So one E and a two, da, 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 right? One E and a two. So that is just another kind of just fall, or kind of, you know, it's almost like a grace note. I mean, you can really, Charlie Parker has a whole bunch of these while playing bebop, and you can kind of use them however you want. The next thing is just going to be a trill. And trilling is just very simple, right? Taking your second and third finger, you know, however you want. This is, again, just to use it however you want. Ballads are really nice to use trills in. So you can use it as many times as you want. You can trill up to notes. However you want. Nice little thing to add there is a trill. So all right, that was number six. Number seven is glissando. Right, glissandos can be used in both hands. So you can come down, right? I use my back of my thumb. You can go up. You can go up with your left hand is a really nice thing, right? Just getting a little, bit in there, especially like in heavy duty trading or just kind of where you want to really lay into something, right? Right? You'll often hear that on really nice trio albums, you know, and that's the pianist kind of giving that build up before they lead in. Let's say the drummer is trading and basically, you know, if they're trading eights or fours, whatever. And then fall off maybe, you know. So you can use glissandos either way, however you want. A nice kind of little thing you hear too is over, you know, chords like E major 7 or B major 7. Or you can use the black notes however you want, even if you're playing over a C7. It can be used in so many different ways. But you can glissando just on the black notes, right? So if you're playing an E major 7, you know, it gives you a certain quality, or B major 7. You're going to get a different sound as well, so you can play around with the glissandos that way. All right, so that was going to be number 7. Number 8, really nice thing, and complete different texture than people are used to, and especially if you pull this out in solos. Now, if you're soloing, let's say, what piece was I just playing? You know, if you're using All of Me, right? So normally, if you're playing with a band, right? Or even, yeah, mostly with a band, right? You'd start into your solo. Let's see. And then maybe the singer just finished, right? And you're going into your solo. Right? So that's just basically a standard way you'd have your chords. But if you're playing more of a medium or slower, even doesn't really matter, actually, what tempo, you can go into more of the Errol Garner, which is going to be just a really tasty texture with your slide. So basically, you're sliding to an octave, and then you're filling in with chord tones in your right hand, right? So your octaves on the outside are playing whatever melody you want, right? But then as you're doing the slide, you're kind of, you don't have to slide into everything, right, as I was just doing, but if you do, it gives a nice thing. You kind of shake it, and then you add some chord tones in there, right? So if you're doing a faster tempo, it's kind of harder to grab. If you're doing a slower tempo, it really lets you dig in, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? So stuff like that. And again, your left hand's pulsing the your chord, whatever chord you're using, right? It can be faster too if you're, you know, so however you want. And that's more of a difficult texture to get, but start out slow, you know, with whatever, especially on songs like, you know, it's Paper Moon, stuff like that, that really lend to kind of that old, you know, I guess sound. Errol was really stuff like They Can't Take That Away From, you know, the Gershwin song, They Can't Take That Away From Me. And, you know, all those different types of songs. Let me see. So stuff like that. You can just kind of play around with it however you want. All right, and let me see. Number 9 is going to be just a high register sound. I love this. Aaron Deal does this a lot, and it's, you don't, you know, it's, I guess not rare, right? What kind of is rare? It's rare that you hear someone use the entire piano, right? The bass note, the total bottom bass note, and the total bottom top end of the piano. And using these, the high register is very classy. It's a very elegant sound. Now, if I go to solo on a ballad up here, this is going to be off the camera, I believe, yes, but you can still listen to it, right? I'm kind of reaching around my podcast mic stand here. right? I'm using some little trills too. But just that total high-end register is going to give you such an atmosphere, right? A totally different atmosphere soloing up there. And it's just, it's magical. It's honestly magical up there, just using that very top-end register, the top octave, all right? That's going to be number 9. Number 10 is going to be, this is more for comping. The last two are kind of more for elegant comping. Drop 2 upper lines. So basically, when you're using your drop 2s, the drop 2 of the top voice and the voice you're using down here, if you don't know what your drop 2s are, basically, I think I've done these in the podcast, but you're taking a voice, right? So if I play a voicing, I'm just taking the middle, second to top from the voice, second to top voice from the top and putting it in my left hand. So in this case, the B flat is going down here. Now, this creates a third, right? So I can move that third around and make this really nice sounding line, right? Usually what I do is this. So basically, you can harmonize that line however you want because you're harmonizing in thirds, right? So you know, stuff like this. It's just a really pretty sound, right? It's a really pretty sound taking that drop two and harmonizing your top line here in the left hand line with those thirds playing around. Now, the last one, number 11, is going to be diminished, drop 2 diminished surrounding a drop 2. So this is kind of just, again, more like a nice comping, elegant sound. You can add this in your solos too, but I'm not going to go over into the diminished passing, but if you have, let's say, C minor, right, in between your C minor chord tones, you can add your diminished scale, and I think I went into this a little bit in one of the podcasts. And so what we're going to do is take our diminished chord, for example. I'm going to take this one, okay? I'm going to create a drop two. So here's my voicing I'm going to start off with. So my C, my root, is going to be the bass note. Here's my inversion. This is going to be second inversion, right, of my C minor 7. So I'm using a drop two voicing. Now what I'm going to do is place two surrounding drop two diminished chords around that. So then we get that, right? We can go either way, right? Now, to add a little bit more flavor, right? To add the spice that we're looking for in this episode, we're going to add a roll, right? So I'm going to add this in my left hand and just a little dynamic lessening of that last one, right? And you can go either way, right? So that's just a really nice thing to do when you're leading into a minor. Let's say you're leading into a minor chord. If you're playing a song, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but so let's say you're on the 1, and then you're going to the 2-5 to the 4, right? Right. So if you're comping, you can use any of the inversions that you want to lead into that minor chord and then continue on from there. But again, you could keep going up if you want and fall into wherever you want. You know, you can roll all the way down. I've actually never done that before. But it's, you know, the opportunity is completely up to you for whatever you want to do. So that is all 11 of them, all right? So we have the triplet, number 1. We got 2. So triplet, we have the slide, right? Slide, we got the chromatic approaches. All the stuff, the half step rub, number 4, the 16th note, 1E and a 2. So just that quick little thing for the 16th note. We have the trill, right? We have the glissandos in both our hands, either way, right? This is a really nice build up for certain things. We got the Errol Garner, right? Using the, you know, just kind of the really kind of classy. If you, like, you know, it's just funny. If you're soloing, let's say on Honeysuckle Rose,
That's kind of fast. Let me slow it down. So this is just the standard, right? I'm not. If you start out soloing like that, and then you switch into a completely different texture, then you go into, right? It's amazing, right? The contrast between just the standard eighth note lines in your right hand, in your left hand comping, going into that Earl Garner texture, it's phenomenal. I love it. We have the total high end register, which is really nice, you know, soloing up on the last octave. We have our drop two thirds line where you can mess around with, right? You know, using different lines for that to harmonize ballads, all different tempos. And we have our drop to diminished surrounding, you know, however you want it. Yeah, I practice that in all keys if you want, through all inversions, yada, 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 right? Seinfeld. Okay. Anyway, so that's all 11, and that's it. That's it. So practice, again, you can, if you, I mean, these are pretty, pretty easily understood items, but if you want a checklist of all the items so you can kind of theoretically place them in practice them, you know, maybe spend 10 minutes of time placing them into your tunes and stuff, again, go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast77, and we will have the download materials for all of the ones I went over today, kind of in a checklist form with some more information that you can get and start to work on. So have a fantastic day or evening, depending upon when you're listening to this. And thank you so much for being here. And as always, happy practicing.